All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are on towards the end of our segments of negotiation, inspections. We went over some forms last week. We're going to be covering the inspection process this evening. So for those of you who wanted to get some additional training on the inspection using the Form 35, and how to use the Form 35-R to negotiate, you guys will enjoy this session. I have partnered with one of our inspectors that has done a great job of helping some of our agents out. Some of our longstanding inspectors have gotten booked up and are no longer able to service all of the clients that we have, and so we've had to expand our vendor list. And so I will be covering an actual inspection report this evening. So something new that I've inserted into this round of conference calls. I am recording the conference call tonight, so if you cannot see the visuals, don't be upset about that. You just may want to request the visuals to be sent to you after the call. I have set it up that way to record the call, and so you can watch my mouse clicks and you can see what I'm doing. A couple housekeeping things. I think I've muted everybody on the line, but if you do need to unmute for some reason, it's star 6 to unmute your line, and it's star 6 to mute. And we will end the call at 6 o'clock. So if you do have some questions specifically about your transactions after the call and you need some help one-on-one, you're welcome to call or text me at 206-947-0811. With that being said, let's go ahead and get started with the visuals. I am recording, so what we're going to do is go into my email box, make sure that's up and running, and also I'm going to go ahead and jump into the Northwest MLS. So I'm going to go ahead and log in as me. And we've been discussing different forms, and as you guys know, you can get all of the forms on Transaction Desk, but you also can go to Express Forms still. They keep telling me at the MLS they're going to remove the Express Forms, but they have not done that yet. And as many of you know, there's manuals on each of these forms, or most of the forms. So as you scroll down to Form 35, you actually can see the Form 35, and the reasons we use Form 35 is because we are acknowledging in the Form 35, giving the buyer choice that they can do an inspection or if they want to waive the inspection. So one of the things I look for when I'm reviewing your contracts is to make sure that we have a Form 35 attached to the purchase and sale agreement to cover us in case a buyer ever sued saying that you did not give them a choice in whether to do an inspection or to waive the inspection. So even though you're waiving, you must always use Form 35, and on the page 2, you would check the box number 4, waiver of inspection. Some of you are doing pre-inspections, and that's fine. And then also, I am seeing some of the agents writing in a number 2. Like, why would somebody write in number 2? If your property that you're looking at or writing up is on a busy road, or proximity to bus lines is important, or traffic patterns or noise, if your client's sensitive to those types of things, you may want to go ahead and check box number 1 and buyer a box number 2, allowing for the buyer to back out. But it is a simultaneous contingency, meaning that 1 and 2 would ride side by side. And so you have 3 days on the neighborhood review to back out. But on the inspection contingency, if you don't end up writing anything in here, you do have a 10-day inspection contingency. I am seeing most of the brokers cutting that timeline down to 5 or 7, which is completely fine with me. I like to see deals written that way just because we have to wait sometimes to get the appraisal ordered until the inspection is done, and it's nice to get a jump start on that inspection. So with the appraisals being backed up, I'd like to continue as we go into 2017 and seeing number 1A, buyer's notice, cut that timeline down to 5 or 7, just to keep the deal moving along. A lot of people are asking me questions about Section B, which is additional inspections. So let's say we hire, or the buyer hires an inspector, and the inspector like one today that I heard about, the inspector finds that there was water in the crawl space. Well, we've had a lot of rain. I think it was almost record breaking in October. So that is not abnormal to have water in the crawl space. However, the inspector noted it and could not complete the entire inspection report, and so there was further evaluation noted in the inspection report. If the buyer chooses, they don't want to back out, and they always have that right during the inspection period to back out, but in this particular case, they wanted to get further clarification on the crawl space and have a water specialist, drainage specialist come out to the property and evaluate that at the buyer's cost. So the buyer would seek additional inspections. The buyer automatically gets a 5-day extension. So that 5 days up above in Section 1A would be extended to additional 5 days if not filled in, but they would need to, the buyer would need to submit with your help the Form 35R along with that, and they check the third box saying that they request additional time for additional inspections, but they also need to include the part in the inspector's report recommending the additional inspection by a specialist. So that is written into the contract as well. So even though you cut the timeline down to 5 days, for example, in Section 1A, and you leave Section B blank, you in essence have the potential of having a 10-day period for inspections, which is plenty of time to get some of these things addressed. As we go into Section C, this is where it becomes very strategic. And obviously, some of our agents who have been in the business a long time are more familiar with how to request for repairs or modifications. And they kind of have a knack. There is kind of an art to the negotiation when you ask for sellers' request, when you ask the seller to fix items, modify items, or propose alternative remedies like money. So this takes some getting used to as far as how to use the Form 35R. So we are going to spend the rest of the time going into an inspection report. I'm going to act as if I was the buyer's agent. We're going to go through an inspection report together tonight, utilizing the inspection report that I received from a new inspector that we're starting to see a lot of good results out of. And that way you'll be able to see how he runs his reports and how I negotiate using his report on the 35R. It's a pretty neat little system. Before I go into that, I'll just plug him just a bit here. He is available, so he lives up in just about 5 minutes from the office. He will serve his clients all the way north, south, east, or west, so he's willing to drive anywhere. Even as far as Sequim, he actually has a place that he stays out in Sequim. So we actually have an office out in Sequim, out in the peninsula. So he's even willing to go out to Sequim to do with your inspector's inspection reports out there. So very available and willing to expand his business. He has done, I think he told me, 3,000 crawl space inspections. And he's a licensed pest inspector. So for some of you guys that don't want to do a full-blown home inspection, maybe you just want to have a pest inspection for an FHA or VA buyer, he's also a great resource for that. If you want to jot down his name and phone number, his name is Carl Ozolin, O-Z-O-L-I-N. He's with KO Inspection, and you can go to koinspection.com, and you can see his website. You can get to know him a little bit more. But his phone number, the way he likes to view or to get set up his inspections is just for you to call him directly. So that's how I was able to reach him. We had a really bad inspection on one of our houses in Tacoma, and Carl came highly recommended because the inspector that one of our buyers had chosen, and again, the buyers chose the inspector, and so what they got was an inspector who was not willing to crawl into a crawl space. The crawl space was too scary for this particular inspector. I kind of laughed. I thought, that's kind of why we pay the inspectors the money to do the inspection, because I don't want to crawl underneath the house and check it out. But the inspector the buyer had selected, I think, charged $350 and did not even want to go underneath the crawl space. So we contacted Carl, and Carl went out and did the inspection for $400. I think his rates are, they'll vary depending on the square footage, but the property was about 2,000 square feet, and so he charges around $400 for that, give or take. So when you call him, you may want to ask for a quote, but that's about what you could expect for a 2,000 square foot home. Once we got done with the property, what we did, he will send you an inspection report. He actually goes through and he fills out the report as he goes through the inspection. He got there early. He ran all the appliances. He did a very thorough job. He has all of the tools, like a moisture meter and an infrared. He has all of the tools that the top inspectors have. But in this particular report, he did a very thorough job. And there's some inspectors that do a thorough job, but they're like not pleasant to work with, or they're not willing to talk with the buyer and explain how to remedy something, or not to freak them out or make them worried about their inspection report. This particular inspector does a very thorough job, but also doesn't have a problem helping you keep the deal together. So I'm going to go into his report, and we're going to look at his report and then come up with a Form 35R. I'm going to have you guys watch me put this together. It's not difficult to do, but a lot of agents get cramped when they have to think about negotiating an inspection report. So I go into his website, and I got a password, a login password to access his website to view my inspection report. And I'm going to go down here to the box where it says Home Gauge Report, type in my login and password. Your login and password will stay the same when you use Carl. So I'm going to go in. And then I have three reports. And any inspector that I use that uses this Home Gauge reporting system, it tracks. And so I had him load up the inspection report right here in the top section where it says New. So I can view the documents or click on the address. What's nice about the view the documents, let's say I was working with a client from out of town and they were not going to attend the inspection, but I needed their signature on the pre-inspection agreement for Carl, I could just send that, forward that right to them right from here. So anytime I order something with Carl, I can actually have it in my dashboard. All the photos, all the inspection reports, everything is electronic or in the cloud, and that makes it really easy as I go with my business and I want to continue to use this inspector. If I have questions or my clients have questions down the road, during the transaction, or after the transaction, I also have access to the dashboard and to the report. So here is the inspection report. This is the house right here, 2809 Southwest 172nd Place. There are there's a pest agreement, a pre-inspection agreement, but the two of the ones that are atop, I'm going to actually use the second one just because I already played with the first one. So I'm going to create the repair request list and go through that with you. I'm going to pretend tonight that you guys are my buyer, and I'm going to go through the repair request list with you. And you should do that with your buyers. When you get the inspection report and you're going over the inspection, the repair list, if you're not going through that with them, you may want to consider doing that just so that they understand that you are with them and supporting them around the inspection negotiation process. I get feedback from buyers sometimes after the close of escrow, and some of the feedback I get from them is, my agent did a great job of negotiating a great deal for me on the price and with the seller, but where there was a lack of attention to detail was usually between the inspection period negotiation and the appraisal period of negotiation. They feel like you don't give them a lot of attention. So this is an opportunity for you to work with the buyer in coming up with a probable or likely repair list. So we're going to go ahead and click on, it says document info. I could view it right here by clicking the orange button. But I'm going to actually go to the tool that says create a repair request list. I'm going to click on that. And then it gives me, it says select the items to review. I can review all the items, which is the entire report. My default always goes to the summary. I don't need to see every little thing. I just need the summary of the key points that we want to discuss tonight. So I have mine set up as a default to go to select summary items only, the general summary. So there's 25 items. I'm going to go ahead and click OK. And as I go through this with you guys on the phone, hopefully you can see the pictures as I go through this that are kind of toggling through. And what's nice is he has his little statement about the inspection report. And down below, I can add it to the list or accept it as is. So as I discuss with you guys some of the findings of this property, we will decide, or actually I will decide, whether we're going to accept it as is or add it to our repair list. And then I'll show you how the report pulls it together. So it says there's two layers of roof. It says recommended further review and repairs as needed by a qualified licensed contractor dealing with the roof. This roof is actually in good condition. It's a shingle roof, gable roof. He put that into the list just to cover himself. But the reduced asphalt could mean that it's a flat roof, newer rolled roof. So it's the rolled roof that we need to add to the list. This roof right here looks good, but the other ones do not. So we're going to go ahead and add it to the list, and we're going to say repair. Okay. And in the comments, I'm going to say roofer, roof receipt needed. And usually a roof, you want at least 5 years. So let's go a 5-year roof receipt needed to be provided by seller. And then I'm going to go ahead and save the request. Okay. So now you can see the little top bar. It says I'm 4% done. Now roof penetration, the masonry, this is cracked or deteriorated, and he explained this to us at the time of the report. But this comes with, you know, we already knew about this from the Form 17. So this is an aspect that I want to discuss with you guys tonight is when you get, it's super important before you go on the inspection that you take that Form 17, you get that in the hands of the buyer, you bring it, you print it, whatever you've got to do to get it in the hands of the buyer so that some of these items that may have been disclosed on the Form 17 are not an issue for the buyer. The buyer that I'm working with right now does not have a problem with this deterioration of the chimney mortar. It's something they're used to in their current house. It's obviously noted on the inspection report, but this is not a big deal for this particular buyer. He has tradespeople he knows that are in the business, and this is not going to be an issue for the way it's done. So we're going to accept as is and move on. But the only reason why we're able to accept it as is was because the Form 17 had outlined a lot of information about this property, and we didn't have to worry about the buyer backing out or asking for a credit. He understood that the masonry work would need to be done just down the road. So we're on to the next one. So it says roof drainage systems. Gutters were observed to be missing. Gutters are required for an FHA loan. So I'm going to go ahead and ask for them. I'm going to add it to the list. But I'm actually not going to ask for it on the list. I'm going to ask for them to a monetary compensation. There was several areas noted, so I'm going to put a $2,000. I mean, we're talking gutters across the whole thing. And we're going to ask for a $2,000 monetary compensation on this one. Doorbell inoperable. Well, most buyers, there's going to be cosmetic or things that just don't work properly. Again, this is an older home. So if he says recommend further reviews and repairs as needed by a qualified licensed contractor that deals with this type of item. This was not a big deal to our buyer, so we're going to go ahead and accept as is. We talked about it at the inspection. Windows need caulking at several locations. All the inspectors are going to call out caulking. I've had many bad experiences with caulking where we asked the seller to do some caulking and the sellers did a very poor job of caulking. In fact, they did more damage to the property than helped the property. So whenever there's caulking noted, it's something that's kind of like the honey-do list. I make sure the buyers realize that that's something they're going to need to do once they move in, that most inspectors are going to call caulking, but that's not something that we typically want the sellers to do. When I've asked the seller to do caulking, and we haven't specified who is doing the caulking. I've had sellers use the wrong kind of caulking, put too much caulking on where it wasn't satisfactory to the buyer. It's more hassle than it's worth. So be careful of that pitfall. I'm going to just advise that we accept it as is. Not a huge deal. Also, things that come up is sealing and painting and things like that, or making sure that, you know, some of the shrubbery and the bushes are pulled back from away from the siding. These are all important things to note in the report, but we're not going to ask the seller to fix this flashing trim. This is the way the house is. It's been like that for many, many years. You know, we may have to kind of move the shrubbery back or cut it back before the appraiser gets there, if it's an FHA or VA, but this should go through just fine. This is also a reminder for you, if you haven't included a 22J lead-based paint, that you do want to have that looked at, or if they do need an asbestos testing, that they go ahead and get that done. But we're going to go ahead and accept as is. Move on. Eaves and soffits and fascia boards, all this is tied to that gutter system. So I'm going to add it to the list just mainly because we're going to ask for that credit. So I'm going to add it to the list. And then I'm just going to repair, okay, and save the request. Electrical panels come up all the time. So you want to make sure that you understand some basics about electrical panel. You may want to write down these two names. They get called out every time, and it's something that I prepare my buyers for. This is not a recalled panel, although there's some typical splits that are found, and they suggest upgrading the panel at some point in time. But the panel is not a recalled panel. It just has some of those circuit breakers that might fail. He talks about, to recap, this typical split bus panel found in a residence. There will be a provision for a 6 double pole breakers or less. The panels are often crowded, no longer have ample space. He says recommend upgrading for safety enhancements. This building may have been constructed before the current safety standards. Recommend further review and repairs as needed by a qualified licensing contractor or specified. So you could use this to basically get another inspection if you wanted, to have an electrician come out and get you check the panel out for you. But the total amps on the circuit was 200 amps, and this was not a recalled panel. The two words you want to write down that are recalled are Zinsco, Z-I-N-S-C-O, and Federal Pacific. So when I go through on a listing walkthrough, or I go through with a buyer walkthrough, and I open the electrical panel and I see those two brand names on the panel, I know that inspector is going to call that out, or that they're going to request that it be replaced. And most inspectors are asking for them to be replaced now. So be careful with those two brands. This particular one is not that brand. So we're going to move on. We're going to accept as is because the pricing was so great on this house. But I wanted to at least point that out on electrical panels that we're looking for either a Zinsco or Federal Pacific. And when you see those, you should ask that the seller hire a licensed, bonded, and insured electrician to replace the recalled Zinsco panel with a proper panel and provide receipt prior to closing. That's exactly the wording, or somewhat the wording, that we would use to ask for that seller to do that. With this particular one, we're going to accept as is and move on. There was some knob and tube observed, but again, that's recommend upgrading for safety standards. We could have them look at that. For the time purposes of tonight, I'm going to go ahead and accept as is. There were some ungrounding 3-pronged outlets that were not labeled. This item is a safety hazard. He explained, you know, he doesn't want to get people, you know, upset because the electrical actually is fine in this property, but they do need to ground the receptacles with a GFCI. And so what he's recommending is GFCIs. Those can be done for not very much money, just $20-$30 at Home Depot. And he explained to the clients what they needed to do to fix that so that they could plug in their devices in that particular outlet. So we're going to accept as is. Same thing on this one. No smoke detectors in the bath in the bedrooms. No carbon monoxide. Those are both required and per RCW code required the seller do. So I'm going to add it to the list. and they're going to replace that or repair, save the request. Galvanized water supply lines, further review is necessary. So there's plenty of areas to ask for further review, but in this particular case, everything was functioning, just a couple cosmetic things that need to be adjusted, nothing that would be a deal breaker. Again, I'm looking for deal breakers for my client. The homeowner is over 50 years old, so the toilet needs to be resecured. The toilet clearance is only a certain amount. Caulking on the toilet. So again, we could ask for this, but again, this is more cosmetic and not a big fix, so we're going to accept as is. There's some buildup in the fireplace. We're going to go ahead. They request a chimney sweep, clean, and inspect for safety. A cleaning of a chimney can run you about $100 to $300, depending on how built, how bad the creosote is. Some accept as is. Original wood windows. They like the wood windows, the character of this house. But there were a few little cracked panes that were missing, peeling paint, broken sash, typical with not serious cracks, just little cracks. That the inspector, you can see the little chipping on the paint. We're going to accept as is. Same thing on this one, as is. More wall covering. This is also noted as we did the walkthrough, and it was noted on the Form 17, so we're accept as is. Post and pier foundation, typical of this year built. They recommend strapping and fixing the girders, the anchor, the footing piers. This is, again, foundational, and so I would add it to the list, and we'll just do a monetary compensation for this one. I think the we got a bid for it. It was like only a $1,500. So we'll ask the seller to give us $1,500, save the request. Insulation under the floor system. He actually explained to me that in this type of construction, it actually is, it's in the report, but, you know, it doesn't make sense to put it in this type of property. So he explained that to the client. The venting system, again, that's more of a safety item that they always request, and that's a simple screen, so that's a cosmetic thing that can be done by the homeowner. Crawl space, expanding the sheet metal, this again is something that can be dealt with. There's again screens that need to be placed correctly, so we're accept as is. Oh, there's some rot on those that boards for the roof. So yeah, this is the one that we're going to add to the list. Because hopefully they, when they do the gutters and they do the work on the roof, that gets done as well. And then we'll just go ahead and put repair, save the request. Remaining evidence of wood destroying organisms. So this is also a report that was done, including a pest report. So that for the FHA required a pest report for this particular house. And so there was some damage observed, you can see at the bottom. We're going to go ahead and accept as is, but that's something if you were getting an FHA loan, they may require you to have that fixed. And in that case, you know, it may have to just be chopped off and then a trim board placed or something like that to fix it. So I'm going to, for this purpose of time, I'm going to go ahead and accept as is. Standing water. That's also a concern. Most homes have standing water. Like I said, there's going to be crawl spaces you're going to find with standing water. When it becomes significant or there's no way to drain the water out, you really should have that looked at by a professional or have them install a sump pump into that space. So we're going to go ahead and add it to the list, and we're going to repair, seller to install a sump pump. Seller to hire, so you could just put seller to install a sump pump, but that would be the homeowner doing it. Much better to say seller to hire a licensed drainage contractor to evaluate the crawl space, remove the standing water, and install a sump pump. Save the request. Okay, and now I've completed all my visible items. So I can continue editing if you guys had more questions, or we could review the request list. And instead of looking at a 50-page, 60-page report. Now I have a PDF. I can download some PDF right here with pictures, or I can see how the totals come out, how much money is we've allocated for these types of repairs. So I can send the list to my client, or I can download the PDF, which is what I'm going to do. I'm going to download it. So instead of looking at an entire report, I only have 6 pages here with pictures that fully explain the report that needs to be done. So I can ask for, on my inspection report, which is 35R, I go here to 35R, and I fill in all that stuff would be filled in, but buyer requests the following modification and report tears. See attached inspection report. Now, mind you, you don't see the entire report. You're only seeing a summary of the repair items. Seller to please. I always say please because it's nice and pleasant to talk with sellers that way in a contract. Remedy. Items, number, see their items, number 1 through, I believe it was, let's flip back here, hang on, I think there was 4, 7, items 1 through 7, on the attached report, and provide buyer with at closing with to provide with a credit toward closing costs. I think it was $3,500. Okay. So we could do it like that, and that would be okay. And then we would attach the attached inspection report along with our seller to please remedy items number 1 through 7 on the attached report, provide buyer with a credit toward closing costs of $3,500. And then the seller would come back here and say, yes, we agree to correct all those conditions, only correct to some of these conditions, or we reject all the proposals by the buyer. Or maybe we reject the proposals by the buyer, but they offer us a $7,000 credit instead of $3,500. Again, this is where you can have better negotiation by utilizing the inspection report and being very clear on what you want done. So it didn't take me much time at all to come up with that repair list by using the inspector's words and coming up with some bids right here, roughly, just by going through this report. So hopefully that was helpful for you guys tonight. Again, if you want to talk with Carl and learn how he does inspection reports, you can reach him at 206-900-6780, or you can email him at carl@koinspection.com. He's highly trained. He's been working on a lot of deals. He just has gone out on his own to do his own inspection company, and he is licensed and assured. He's got a great system that he's using to do these reports, and I find it very easy to work with. So he's another resource that we'll add to our resource guide. And obviously, if you have feedback, he's happy to talk with you one-on-one. And hope you have a great night this week. We'll talk to you soon on your deals. And as always, have a great night.